Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a teaching that I've been on for 4 weeks. This is into my fifth week, talking about how to follow God's will. Actually, I spent the first 3.5 weeks talking about how to find God's will. And that's absolutely essential that you know what God's will for you is. But then also it's essential that you learn to follow it. And I've been using Moses as an example, that Moses knew what God's will for his life was. It says in Acts chapter 7, I believe it was verse 25, that when he went out and killed this Egyptian, he supposed that his brethren would have understood how that God by his hands would deliver them, but they understood not. So he knew God's will for his life, but he totally missed it in the timing. Now, the previous teaching that I've done in this set on how to follow God's will, there's actually going to be 3 albums. The first one is how to find God's will. The second one is how to follow. And the third one is how to fulfill God's will. Each one of them have 5 teachings in it. This is now the 3rd teaching in our 2nd album on how to follow God's will. And this is talking about the rod of God. But the previous teaching, Moses, if he knew about the prophecy of Genesis 15, where God told Abram that they would be, that his descendants would be in a land that wasn't theirs for 400 years, if he knew about that prophecy, he just disregarded it. Or because of the crisis situation that the Jews found themselves in, he just thought that with his power and his position in the Egyptian government, that he could just disregard all of these things. And he tried to bring God's will to pass in the 390th year of their captivity. That was 10 years before the prophecy of Genesis 15 was fulfilled. And instead of doing it, you cannot microwave your miracle or your ministry. There is a timing, and there are some things that have to happen, and you just can't shorten it. Regardless of what your culture is like and how you are used to getting instant gratification in the things of God, it takes a period of time for God to prepare us and to get us to where we are usable. And because Moses tried to force it and do things premature, he spent 40 years in the wilderness that he didn't have to spend. He could have stayed in the lap of luxury in the palaces of Egypt for 10 years and have just let God work on him. And not only did it cost Moses 40 years in the wilderness, it cost the children of Israel 30 years extra bondage. Boy, that is significant. And I'm telling you, there are people watching this program all over the world that maybe you're going through a wilderness situation and you're wondering, God, why did you do this? God didn't do it. We create our own wildernesses. It's because of us doing things our own way. And the sooner you come to that realization and humble yourself, the sooner you'll get out of that wilderness. And also, there is a timing to God working in you and preparing you and getting you ready. And you know, some people see that as a real negative and think, well, why does God take so long? It's because he loves you. And some of you may think, well, man, that doesn't seem right. If he loves me, why doesn't he just instantly just make everything work and so that I can have these goals and these desires that I've got in my heart? Why don't they come to pass right now? You know, again, I can go back to my own personal life. If the Lord would have put me in the position that I'm in right now, and if he would have done this 30 or 40 years ago, it would have killed me. There's a number of things. For one thing, you grow and get to where you can handle things. Like right now, I've got people that hate me with a passion. I've got hundreds of blogs written about me and things. I'm the most dangerous man in America. I've got a blog, I've been told about this, where they put my body and the face of the devil on it. And, you know, there's just all kinds of things happening. You know what? I've been dealing with this for 40 years. I've suffered with it on a small scale, and I grew and was able to handle that. And then I grew, and I wouldn't have been able to handle the criticism and all the things coming my way. There's a lot of pressures. There's a lot of things going on in the ministry. You know, it takes us nearly $2 million a month to pay our bills. If the Lord would have done that to me 10 years ago, 20 years ago, it would have killed me. It would have overwhelmed me. I couldn't have handled it. But I've grown to a level that it's just not a big deal. We've got this new project coming up where we are going to be building a brand new CBC campus and a home for Andrew Womack Ministries, and it's going to be like $30 to $40 million on top of everything else that we're doing. I couldn't have done that 10 years ago, 20 years ago. There is a growth process, and so I'm saying that, you know what? It's because God loved me, and He didn't want me to be overwhelmed. He didn't want me to get to where I stayed up all night long worrying about these things. That's the reason that it came slowly, as I was able to handle it. Some of you may not like that. But it's really because the Lord loves you so much. He doesn't want you to be overwhelmed. You've got to grow, and you just aren't at a place to be able to handle it. And so, therefore, some of you are praying and rebuking the devil, you know, and commanding him to let go so that you can fulfill all of these things that God has for you. And it may not be the devil that's holding you back. It may be God's love that He hasn't promoted you and hasn't given you this increase yet because you couldn't handle it. Or another danger is that you can get lifted up with pride. And you can get in when things start succeeding and when the finances flow. You know, there's a saying that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that is a tendency that when people see things begin to work, they tend not to be God dependent. And it just takes a while before the Lord can entrust you and put you in a position where you can have success and things can work. And so somebody may not really have looked at it this way, but it might be God's love that has kept things from working out for you because it's just not time yet. So with Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness. I don't believe he had to spend 40 years in the wilderness, but that's the way it worked with him. That's because of some wrong choices, things that he did is the way it worked. And you know what? God will work with you based on where you are. Not everybody does everything perfectly. As a matter of fact, let me rephrase that. None of us do everything perfectly, amen. It never is perfect. You know, when we moved into this building that we're in, it was a major deal. I had to have $3.2 million in order to fulfill this, and I'd committed myself to not taking out a loan. I was just going to trust God. And if my partners didn't respond, it could have taken 100 years. It would have killed the ministry. It would have killed all my visions. And so it was a major deal, but in 14 months, we got $3.2 million, and I moved into this building with all of the renovation done debt-free. But we were actually aiming to be in August of 2004. That's when our school year started. We didn't get in until November. And when I moved in, I was praising God and thanking God, but I had a student come up and says, "Are you disappointed? Did this cause depression in you that you didn't make it in August?" And you know, the way I responded was, "Man, I'm just thrilled to be in November. You know, I've never done anything perfectly in my life. And so what if I missed it by 3 months? I still got in. I raised $3.2 million. We did it debt free. It was a victory. It wasn't done perfectly, but I've never done anything perfectly in my life." And there was somebody asking, "Are you disappointed because it didn't work out exactly the way you had planned?" I'm telling you, God has never had anybody qualified working for Him yet, and you aren't going to be the first. Moses didn't do everything right. Moses messed up. Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness that was not God ordained, and yet God knew right where he was. God wasn't upset with him. God didn't quit. Romans chapter 11, verse 29 says that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. And regardless of how much you've messed up, regardless of how discouraged you've been, regardless of how long it has been since you were actively pursuing God, did you know God hasn't changed His plans for you? And the moment you get ready to repent and just say, "Father, I'll get back in step with you. I'll do things your way." Did you know God will find you right where you are? Moses was on the backside of the desert. He was supposed to be in Egypt, and yet he was on the backside of the desert, herding sheep because he had messed up and not followed God's will. And yet God found him. And so in Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4 is where Moses encountered God in this burning bush. And let me just read some of this. In Exodus chapter 3, it says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And verse 4 says, And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and God said, Moses, Moses, and he said, Here am I. Now, before we get into the rest of this, let me just point out something, and this is really significant. Again, most people have gotten most of their opinion about Moses from the movie, The Ten Commandments. And even though it's a good movie and there's value to it, it's not all correct. And one of the things that they've got is that when Moses went out into the wilderness, that he was trying to run from God. When he married his wife, Zipporah, that he was there trying to just totally forget God. He had had it with God. And then when he encountered God, it was like this was his first really encounter with the Lord. That is not what the Word of God teaches. Over in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about Moses. And let me just read some of this. In verse 23, it says, By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. See, that really underscores the same thing that was said in Acts chapter 7, that this wasn't just circumstances. It wasn't an accident that Moses killed this Egyptian. He chose this. He wanted to identify with the Jews, and he chose to suffer with them rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. In verse 26, it says, He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Verse 27, By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And I made mention of this earlier in the week, but the word endure here isn't talking about that he was just sitting there biding his time or wasting his time. It's a strong word in the Greek, and it's talking about he persevered. He persevered throughout this time in the wilderness. He was seeking for God. He knew that God had a purpose for his life, and even though he had messed up God's plan, he was still holding on to faith that God had a purpose for his life, and he was believing that God would use him to bring deliverance to the Jews. And throughout this 40 years, man, if you'd stop and think about this, 40 years, and according to Scripture, there isn't any encounter between God and Moses during those 40 years. Now, I don't doubt that God was speaking to him and working in him and preparing and still keeping the dream alive, but there certainly wasn't any of these dramatic encounters like what's being described over here in Exodus chapter 3. But for 40 years, Hebrews 11 shows us he had been persevering. He had been looking for God. He had been waiting for another opportunity. And I'm sure that Moses came to the place that he realized, God, I blew it. I leaned unto my own understanding. I thought that you were going to use my position, my power, my authority in the Egyptian government to bring your children out, and I totally missed it. God, give me another chance. He was persevering, enduring. And I want to bring that out to say that when Moses saw this burning bush, he said, I will turn aside and see this great sight. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, then the Lord spoke to him. Here is a great truth, that you know what? God is concerned about every one of us. God wants to intervene in your life. God wants to help you. But he isn't going to come in and just fix everything and make it work for you. He will reveal himself. He will do something. But if you don't turn aside, if you aren't looking for him, if you are, say for instance, what if Moses would have been so busy? He was trying to get home to Zipporah and his children, and he had another 5 miles to cover. And what if he would have thought about, man, I'm hungry, I want to get home, put my feet up, watch TV or whatever. And if he would have been, you know, adamant about, I've got to cover this distance, and he wouldn't have taken the time to turn aside and see this unusual event, God wouldn't have spoken to him. It says God, when he saw that he turned aside, is when he spoke to him. In the 6th chapter of the book of Mark, you find that Jesus came walking on the water to his disciples. They were about to drown. They were in the midst of this terrible storm. The boat was full. It looked like they were going to drown. Jesus came walking on the water. Now, it's obvious that the reason he was walking on the water, he wasn't just out for a stroll on the water. He came out there to help his disciples. They were there because he commanded them to be there. He came to help them. If it would have been you and me, we would have come running and yelling, waving our arms, you know, the Calvary's coming. Hold on, I'm coming to help you. But Jesus, he was just walking on the water. And in Mark chapter 6, it says he made as though he would have passed by them. Now, think about this. Here's his disciples about to drown. They're praying for everything they're worth. They're bailing, they're rowing, they're doing everything they can. Jesus is coming to help them, but he would have walked by them if they hadn't called out. Jesus, when he rose from the dead, was walking with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. He was there to talk to them and minister to them. He explained from the scriptures, and it said he made as though he would have gone further, but they compelled him. No, you've got to come in and eat with us. And as he broke bread, he was revealed unto them, and their eyes were open, and all of a sudden Jesus vanished out of their sight. There's just on and on you could go. God will come to you, but he is not going to overpower you. He won't make things happen. If you aren't looking for God, you'll miss him. If you aren't looking for deliverance, you won't get it. You have to seek to find. You have to knock to get it opened unto you. You have to ask to receive. The Lord is a gentleman. He doesn't force himself upon you. Boy, that is significant. And you know, many people just read this and pass over it. But Moses, he had things to do, places to go, people to see. And yet when he saw this bush burning, I'm sure it's not the first time he had ever seen a bush burn in that hot climate. But this one was different in the sense that it wasn't consumed. It didn't just burn up and be gone. It was burning and it seemed to still be intact. It was unusual enough that it was out of the ordinary. And he says, I'm going to turn aside and see this. And God didn't just speak to him. He could have just called to him without a burning bush. But see, he did something abnormal that because Moses was looking for him, he found God in this burning bush. And God spoke to him out of the midst of this bush. Well, that has direct impact on us. There are some of you that need a burning bush experience. But the truth is, you're so busy. You got so much going. You know, we get in a car and you turn on the radio, you turn on something, you're at home. There's people that leave the television going just so that you'll have noise in the background. You aren't even paying attention to it. Most of us aren't still. And we don't listen and look for God. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. When you get still, when you unplug from this world, when you quit being so busy and so occupied, then God can speak to you. And I tell you, our lifestyle in the United States, and of course this program's being seen all around the world, but our lifestyle in this modern age is not conducive to really knowing God. If we have a free moment, we fill it with something. We turn on the television, the radio, the internet. You're always listening to some music. You're always doing something. But you know, there needs to be some downtime where you just sit and be still and let God speak to you. You need to be looking. And if you would look, you would find. There's people today that say that they can't find God. There isn't any evidence of God. And yet the Bible says in Psalms chapter 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. Night unto night shows knowledge. There is no language, no speech, no tongue that hasn't heard this. His voice has gone forth throughout the entire earth. You know, I was recently in Atlanta, and I was making some of these exact same points because we were there in the spring, and the dogwoods were blooming, and the azaleas were out, and it was just beautiful. And I was talking about how that in Atlanta, there are millions of people that can't find God, don't see God, and yet all of this beauty all around them. Man, in all of his ability, can't make one of those flowers. They can make something that looks like it, but it won't reproduce and have another flower. It won't grow. man with all of their ability. You could pool all the resources of the human race, and they can't make one flower. They can't make one dogwood tree. And yet those things are there just shouting out. And yet most people are so busy. They get into traffic. They get to thinking and looking at the traffic and miss all of the other things. And I'm saying likewise, there are many of you that are saying, where's God? Why doesn't God speak to me? God is speaking to you all the time. You're passing burning bushes every day of your life. God has something to say to you, but you know what? He's not going to just force it on you. What he will do is he'll just appear. But he'll make as though he's going to walk on by. Here you are drowning, and the Lord comes out to you and presents himself, but he's not going to just jump into the boat. He's not going to solve the problem for you and do it all on his own. He's going to reveal himself, and you have to call out. You have to reach out and place a demand on the power of God. There's some of you that probably were just tuning the dial, stumbled upon this program. You don't even know why you're watching it. You're doing something else. And you know what? God is speaking to you right now. This is a burning bush moment. God is speaking to you. And if you would just be still and let God know, he could speak to you and God could change your life. Miracles could happen. I'm telling you, God is a good God. And there's not a single person, there's not a single problem that any person is facing. It doesn't matter if it's financial, if it's physical, if it's in relationships, if it's just a crisis of not knowing what to do or whatever's going on. God is there. But you're going to have to look to see him. And it may be in the slightest thing. Some of you, you know, you could go out and look at the clouds. The clouds are just awesome. The scriptures talk about that the clouds are the dust of his feet, that he rides upon the wings of the wind. You know, you could go out and find God in so many different ways. And yet the problem is most of us are so busy that God just can't get a word in edgewise. I'm telling you, there's lessons to learn from Moses. Moses was 40 years in the wilderness, and he had been persevering, enduring. He wasn't out there trying to forget God. He was looking for God every day of his life. And when he saw something out of the ordinary, he thought this could be it. This could be God. This wasn't accidental. He had been searching for God. There's a reason why some people receive miracles, because they've been looking for it. It says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, we quote that often about, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And it says two verses down, it says, and you shall seek me and you shall find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. There's a lot of people that are asking God to intervene, but they've got, you know, 2 minutes before their favorite show comes on. And God, I'll give you 2 minutes, and if you can speak to me and change my whole life and solve all my problems, you know, before my favorite As Your Stomach Turns comes on, well, then praise God, fine. That's not going to cut it. You're going to have to be looking for God, and you can find that out of the life of Moses. He was looking, and when he saw something abnormal, he turned aside, and then God spoke. I'm out of time today, but I do have materials that go into a lot more detail on this. I encourage you to listen to our announcer as he gives you this information and then call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Follow God's Will, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This series is also available on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. You can receive it for a gift of any amount when you write or call. Or you can get today's teaching as part of the God's Will package, which includes 3 albums, How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. As a bonus, the package includes the Destiny Stories DVD, highlighting 4 stories of people whose lives were transformed as they pursued God's will for their lives. The entire package has a catalog value of $120. But Andrew considers this teaching so important, he'd like to get it to as many people as possible. Therefore, he's offering it to you for a gift of just $75 or more. Remember to specify the CD or DVD package when you order. The 3rd audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD titled The Rod of God, free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled God Wants You Well for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Boston, Massachusetts next week for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 12th through the 14th and in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting September 12th through the 17th. He'll also be in Johnson City, Tennessee September 18th through the 19th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Andrew Womack Ministers Conference October 4th through the 8th, and in Buxton, Derbyshire in England for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference October 18th through the 20th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Charis Bible College graduates are changing lives. Russ and David Forguston and David's wife Judith moved to India upon graduating from CBC and immediately began spreading the gospel truth, establishing Charis Bible College India and helping with individual and small business loans as well. CBC India has just celebrated its first graduating class and is sending ministers throughout India's villages, towns, and cities, changing the world one life at a time. For more information on this and other stories, visit awmi.net. Click on Ministry News and discover what's happening at Andrew Womack Ministries. Invest yourself in Charis Bible College and Andrew Womack Ministries today. There's much more than just classroom activity at Charis Bible College. Students participate in hands-on ministry, like the 36 students who recently went on a mission trip to Mexico.
Men will put up the tent in the morning. Women will go out to the streets passing out invitations to the tent meetings.
This CBC outreach to Mexico resulted in 112 salvations, 33 baptisms in the Holy Spirit, and nearly 40 healings with 14 outstanding miracles recorded.
17 children got born again that day, the day that I taught and offered salvation, and those same 17 received the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well.
The students of Charis Bible College are ambassadors for Andrew Womack Ministries in Mexico and wherever they minister around the world.